Hello, welcome to the Stockout. A lot going on today between the Eclipse and the National Championship game. I'm Mike Bowden-Distel, joined by Grace Sharkey. This is our show on retail and CPG industries. Grace, good to see you.
Yeah, and you know what? It's actually my birthday, too. So let's add...
That's right. Well, there really is a lot going on today. Happy birthday.
Yeah. It's a bunch of stuff happening. Yeah, I'm excited for the Eclipse. I'm in like 95% of the totality of it. So you're pretty close to it too, right? Down in Texas?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. So lots of people. We're pretty much right in it. So there's been, I guess, about a million people that have come into DFW to watch it here. So we are being warned left, right, and center about traffic today.
Nice. Well, enjoy it and don't stare too long into the sun. I would say that, right? Let's not all...
Oh, yeah. I won't. Got my glasses up. Ready here. So today we're going to be talking about Amazon. They were in the news a lot in the last several days. So we'll go through those things and then talk to Wesley Williams, Vice President of Supply Chain at Daily Harvest, which I was not familiar with Daily Harvest. Went through their website a little bit last night, and looks like a cool company. Gets you healthy food delivered. So we'll talk about their logistics. You're coming up. Before we do that, I want to make sure everyone knows how to sign up for the Stockout newsletter, which we send out once a week. All you have to do is go to www.freightwaves.com/the Stockout, or you can go to freightwaves.com/subscribe and subscribe to all of our newsletters that pertain to you. There's an example of that right at the top of newsletters under supply chain. It's going to be the first one there. And there's also a discount code to our conference, which is coming up on June 4th and 5th. In Atlanta. So hopefully we'll see some readers of the Stockout there. Great chance to learn about what's happening in the industry, network, learn the latest, what's happening in Sonar, which we just revamped our rail intermodal data, which is being processed as we speak. So I'm the person to talk to about that. But with that, I want to get into today's first topic, which is Amazon is imposing inventory placement fees and low inventory fees, which I thought was interesting. So this was, there's a picture of a photo from that Jim Allen took of a fulfillment center. So this brought to my attention because from a newsletter that was sent out by Cartograph. So Cartograph is a company, we've had their CEO on this show in the past, Chris Moe, to talk about how sellers can position themselves in the Amazon marketplace. And so because there's so many rules associated with Amazon and policies that you have to change to comply with to sell on Amazon. And they're always changing, that there's this cottage industry that's come up advising the Amazon marketplace sellers. And so he puts out this newsletter that says, okay, just sort of heads up that they're changing the inventory placement fees. And the inventory placement fees are, you send your goods to Amazon and then they distribute it to all these fulfillment, centers. So it's in time to have the, 1 day or 2 day delivery. And essentially what is being changed most dramatically is LTL shipments, which in some cases, the LTL shipment inventory placement fees could rise from the low to mid $100 range to $2,000 or more per shipment. So anyone who sells into Amazon is going to make sure, as we're particularly using LTL, is going to have to know whether or not they're going to be subject to those new fees for inventory placement. So that's kind of just a heads up. It does seem like this is going to encourage some brands to maybe consolidate LTL shipments into larger truckload shipments. But Cartograph points out it's not necessarily the best thing, because Amazon's still going to rebalance inventory between its warehouses at the brand's expense. So inventory placement fees are changing. And then the other thing that's changing as far as fees concerned on Amazon are these low inventory fees. And so Amazon wants you to be able to go to the site, get everything you want, right away, and they don't want to, basically run out of stock. And so what they're doing is imposing these new fees for having anything less than, having less than 28 days of inventory. They're going to calculate this as a weekly average of days of supply over the last 30 or 90 day periods. And then when both of those averages, 30 and 90 days, fall below the 28 days of inventory, there's a fee that ranges anywhere from 30 cents an item to $1 an item. So it really depends on, sort of what type of items are you selling. If it's CPG and you're selling something that's relatively inexpensive and just really high volume, this could really be a problem. They do point out that it doesn't pertain to sort of different variations of the same product. So if there's use a CPG, there might be some flavor that's out of stock, but still wouldn't be penalized for that if there's you know, competing flavors. So that's an important heads up for anyone that involved in is selling through Amazon. And then Amazon also was in the news for pulling its Just Walk Out methodology from the Fresh stores. And so you've probably seen those on some of these Amazon Go storefronts. You sign in before going into the store, you take what you want, you just walk out, it automatically bills you. And I guess the thing that came up was that Amazon was using over 1,000 associates in India for these relatively small number of stores to act as moderators to make sure that people were being billed appropriately, and said that there was some human interaction in about 70% of those sales. And Amazon thought it was going to be more like 5%. So it didn't seem like it it scaled, at least not without interaction with people. So have you ever used one of these automatic walkout?
I haven't. I've been interested in. I haven't. I think Kroger's like played with it a little bit. I just haven't seen any of the stores or been to any of the stores that are actually using the product. But as someone that covers tech, I like had to send this over to. It's laughable to kind of. I think sometimes people think that this technology is much more developed than one could say. I mean, even down to. Kind of reminds me of some of the automation we see in the logistics space and answering calls, and how, I mean, some of that is even being outsourced to different countries. And in that situation, you might think it's someone in the office too. So it's just, it's funny to me to see Amazon kind of be open to it, right? I think we all are going to learn something from this, showcasing that this technology isn't 100% accurate. And if you need that many people double checking, and I mean, they're clearly just like, watching these customers the whole time that they're in the store, it is pretty comical, I think, in regards to how maybe they portray their technology as a whole. That, I mean, you talked about, of course, the extra fees too. I mean, that's well, I think you have had people on, Duner's had people on before who are part of the fulfillment arrangement with Amazon, and it's just interesting to me how quickly these kind of like pop up, and they're forced to, of course, adhere to them. It sounds like this one, they might credit April and move out to May, starting to charge them. So they have like a little bit more, if you want to call 30-day notice, a little bit more helpful for them. But yeah, from the LTL side, like you're listing up those prices, I mean, that's going to be a huge increase, I think, for a lot of those people using their fulfillment system. And knowing how, especially pricing LTL in the past, at this point, we're going to see that those costs come up to the consumer, I think, through this too. That's almost, I would think, impossible for them to eat that big of margin that's going to take out for those producers as well.
Yeah, I mean, it really is difficult to sell into Amazon and make it profitable, just because there's so many fees and there's some this. Back and forth about whether you have to pay to have enough advertising to get your products up on the page and all that stuff, like all the stuff from the FTC complaint was really interesting. Going to be something that we continue to follow. But want to move on and leave the next section for our guest. You want to intro him?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is going to be a fun one too, because not only are we looking in from a shipper's perspective, but we're going to get a nice look into both direct to consumer and working with stores and retailers in particular. I got to meet this individual at Manifest this past year, and he was on a panel of mine as well. With us, of course, is Wesley Williams, Vice President of Supply Chain over at Daily Harvest. Wesley, thank you so much for joining us, and tell the audience a little bit about your work and your history in logistics as well.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. Happy birthday, Grace. Let's start there. Wesley Williams, like Grace mentioned, I'm the Vice President of Supply Chain. I've been with Daily Harvest now going on 2 years. Have been in supply chain for about 15 years now almost, having worn several or various hats throughout operations, always pertaining to supply chain, with about 7 years, first half of my career really spent at Coyote Logistics. So I was with them through the acquisition and then really spent the last couple of years there getting to understand supply chain in a much more, from a different lens, right? Spent the last 2 years really just working on project management work, which really, for UPS, which really got me very interested in moving more so from that transportation side of the business into more of the manufacturing on the customer side.
So I wanted to ask you, I mean, when I went through the website, it's really interesting. You know, you deal a lot with sort of healthy foods, and a lot of it's frozen. So what are some of the sort of challenges associated with the sort of the frozen supply chain that you've come across?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So, you know, I would say that for us, Daily Harvest specifically, we are a vast majority of the SKUs that we are selling are organic SKUs. And so that just adds an additional complexity to what we're doing on the sourcing side, right? And so we're using approximately 350, few more than that, ingredients. And so, again, with the majority of those ingredients being organic or being transitional, so moving, partnering with suppliers who are moving toward organic processes, that just adds a lot of complexity for us. I would say that, albeit we are purchasing and sourcing from a lot of large and widely known suppliers, we also source from a lot of smaller independent farmers or mom and pop farmers. And so for us on that mission, on that journey, it's really about being able to build some of these organic relationships with partners, just knowing that some of these suppliers are actually going out and they're planting and harvesting crops on our behalf. And so some of the challenges, just at least on the sourcing side, right, come from if there is a bad harvest and we are partnering with a mom and pop on a specific organic ingredient, that harvest really has if it's a bad harvest, it has a detriment to us, right? And so our ability to be able to pivot and move and still be able to produce a high quality product for our customer base, that's one of the larger challenges. And then again, you know, I would just say that ties into just a lack of diversity within the frozen supply chain is also a big challenge for us. A lot of suppliers out there are able to help create ambient or dry products, but if you're literally looking to be in this fresh frozen space, the network very much narrows down.
Yeah, it seems, you're talking about bad harvest. We brought this up in the last couple episodes of this show. Right now, clearly chocolate, cocoa being an issue for many out there, and seeing, of course, what your supplies look like, I'm sure this is something impacting you. Can you tell us a little bit how you've managed those challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we sat in a meeting last week with my sourcing team and really got a walk from them on what some of the challenges are with our raw materials and some of our suppliers. There are certain ingredients that we signed contracts on at the end of last year, and just because of the supply chain or harvest, or there's a multitude of reasons, but, you know, on some of our raw materials, we're seeing, you know, 70, 80, 100% increase to what we thought we'd be paying. We're constantly evaluating who are our partners. We are constantly evaluating who are our additional partners that can offer, the same service or the same material. So trying to build some of those redundancies into our supply chain, and we're constantly evaluating risk. We're, you know, always looking at different commodities and trying to understand what commodities do we find information about in the news that, you know, maybe our suppliers have not yet brought to our attention some of the challenges or some of the risks with those materials and ingredients. And so we are consistently just doing our own work and our own due diligence, again, trying to make sure that we understand what's happening in the market and we're trying to stay ahead of it.
Yeah. 350 ingredients, I'm sure that's a tough situation to kind of handle through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, if you know off the top of your head, I mean, there was you know, one of the ingredients you mentioned on your website is this cacao, which I guess is like similar to cocoa, but it's a different, I don't know, different, you know, strain or whatever. And has that had the same inflation that we've seen for cocoa prices? Because the cocoa prices are basically all there. There's a cocoa chart, highest it's ever been. I was just wondering, is it the same dynamic with that ingredient?
Yeah, cacao has definitely been one of the ingredients that has been challenged for us recently. And like I said, definitely falls into that category of raw materials that we are constantly evaluating and trying to build in some redundancy for.
Like I was telling the audience earlier, what's interesting too is you're not only doing this direct to consumer type of delivery, but you're also working, and congratulations, you recently launched partnership with Costco, and I know that you've worked with Kroger, Wegmans, and others in the past. Can you tell us about the strategies of those deliveries and how the challenges differ from direct to the consumer compared to delivering and really keeping up with expectations for the grocery side of the companies you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, fulfillment versus distribution is a different operation, right? So when I'm thinking about my e-commerce and my D2C, so we are doing tens of thousands of orders on a weekly basis on the D2C side. And so I think about packaging, I think about my liners, I think about my dry ice and all the additional components that go into that really go into the D2C side. For us on the outbound side, for when we're going into our retail partners, you know, that's a distribution operation. So that in itself is much more straightforward in the sense that we are picking products, we're picking master shipping pieces, we are building pallets, and we are sending those outbound to a distribution center somewhere across the country. You know, that in itself, again, becomes a much more straightforward process, but there are absolutely challenges that we face in that space that I do not face in the fulfillment side that we have to solve for. Volume being one of those, right? And I know we were talking about LTL a little bit earlier, but as we think about, there is a particular company, and I won't name names, but that owns, I don't know, somewhere between 70 and probably 80% of the Frings and LTL space. And that has been a partner that we have not had a ton of success with in terms of on time and in full deliveries. And so really try to build strategies around how can we divest from having to be beholden to partnering with that customer, and really looking for consolidation opportunities within frozen, and who are those partners out there. That, again, creates challenges for us. My cost, when I think about my cost of goods, right? My cost of goods is dramatically fluctuates based on the efficiency of which I'm able to pack out into a container or into a trailer. And so, you know, thinking about who are the players that have other customer volume that they can really maximize that trailer to help me drive down my cost has definitely been a challenge for us.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. Another thing I find interesting is just going through your website. I mean, you so much focus on organic, sustainability, helping local farmers, the foods are healthy. I mean, normally when you go through all that list, the prices of the items, they're really expensive. Your prices seem pretty reasonable. Is there something about your supply chain that's, you know, highly efficient that's offsetting some of those higher costs that you normally would expect?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, my team across the board, top to bottom. So if I think from my sourcing to supply chain all the way down to my logistics team, right, we are every touch point in between. We are working again to build very strong relationships with all of our suppliers, all of our manufacturing partners, all of our transportation partners, our fulfillment, our distribution partners. And yeah, when I say that we're building strong relationships, it's about being able to build those relationships in a way that our partnerships are mutually beneficial. So as my volumes increase or my volumes decrease, right, being able to have very honest conversation with them to say, with those partners to say, here's where I'm challenged. How can we get creative in some of this pricing? Because right now, what we agreed to maybe 6 months ago, isn't necessarily what I'm capable of being able to continue to meet in terms of our responsibility, right? And so how can we work through this? And so really, we have a very strong network of partners who do work with us. And that's give and take, right? When those partners come to us and they say the same thing, then we have to bend sometimes to be in order to be able to help those partnerships and sustain those partnerships. And so, you know, some of these raw materials that we've talked about and the cost of them exploding, you know, we heat that. Like at the end of the day, I am very concerned, or my mission is to create a product that we can bring to market that encourages people to want to eat more organic fruits and vegetables, and puts those at the forefront and makes them an option for them. And I know that cost being a strong, a big factor in people's ability to be able to actually consume our product. And so we make the decision often that, you know, if there's not a creative solution that we are not able to come up with, hey, is this something that we are going to have to offset to our consumer? Or is this something that we just are going to have to, for the time being, eat that and know that it's taking, we're taking a hit on that margin that we're looking for, but we need to continue to work to develop a new strategy so that in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, we're not in this position any longer.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting hearing a lot of this work that you do. It sounds like it is a lot of relationship building, but also like managing the future and also the situations that are currently on hand, and keeping up with all that must be a lot. And I guess I'm interested seeing, of course, your background too, being in Coyote, yes, and in this role as well. How has technology helped you balance all of this? And especially as we see so many different challenges with the different ways that you're fulfilling for your customers these orders, like how, what technology has made that easier for you over the years that you've been with Daily Harvest and even in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would say that, Grace, going back to the panel we did at Manifest, right? In that panel, I gave a shout out to our transportation, our TMS solution provider, this company, Allery. And they have really been a phenomenal partner for us, just in the sense of the two founders, their background. They both come from Uber. They understand the challenges that we are trying to face, or that we are facing, excuse me, and we're trying to solve for. And so, again, going back to that relationship aspect, being able to have technology partners that are really smart and really very easily digestible, very quickly, they can get to a sense of understanding, okay, here's a challenge, here's what you're looking for a solution for. And then being able to partner with them to oftentimes create customized solutions for myself that they can then turn around and roll out to other customers, right? And so again, going back to that mutually beneficial part of like aspect of a relationship, that's been really helpful for us in a lot of ways on the transportation and distribution side. And we've been working with them now for about 18 months, and it has paid significant dividends for us. And then when I start thinking about like other technologies, right, I'm again looking, going back to the cost and trying to drive to efficiency and reducing my cost. We, you know, we've partnered with a new cartonizer partner that's really helped us be able to reduce the size of our customer boxes. So not the, you know, the units with inside of that, but trying to be able to reduce the packaging, the dry ice, and get to a more efficient place. They've really just in the last few months helped us drive 18, almost 20% efficiency in our packaging, which, excuse me, has paid dividends for us. You know, we are in conversations with this company that we met at Manifest that is really on the forefront of being able to help on the D2C side with weather occurrences and being able to be predictive and say, hey, if you're going to ship to, you know, this cluster of zip codes on this day in the future, you might want to consider holding those packages back a day because they're probably not going to make it for on-time delivery. You're going to then have to incur the cost of wasted product, and then you're having to reissue either credits or send a new box out to those customers. And so again, those are just some of like the types of technologies that we are really excited about right now. And then again, like, we're always looking for additional technologies to help us, again, with our product being frozen. It's very important that the security, when I say security, right, I'm thinking about that our product stays frozen throughout the entire life cycle of our supply chain. And so always looking for additional technologies to help us ensure that we are maintaining that negative 10, that zero to negative 10 that we're always looking for. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, especially on the distribution side, I can't build process, right? If I'm sending product into a Kroger distribution, Kroger just happens to be working with some third party they've contracted with, I can't build process with that partner. They're just going to receive the product. So I need to ensure that that product arrives at that frozen, with that frozen integrity that I expect it to.
All about, I mean, this is clearly a challenging supply chain that you have to work through. But I mean, yeah, even down to the weather aspect could be a whole nother 10 minutes that we could dive into as well. But unfortunately, we are out of time today. Wesley, thank you. So first off, thank you for the birthday shout out. And thank you so much for joining us. I think our audience is going to learn a lot from you and appreciate your time today as well.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time, guys. Thank you so much.
Of course. And for our audience, of course, we've got, like Mike said, a nice discount for all of you who join our newsletter. Head to freightwaves.com, click on newsletters at the top of the page, join the stock out, and you'll get a discount code for our June event, which will be really fun. I believe we have Ryan Peterson's Flexport being the headliner for that event. Going to be a good chat from him as well. But until then, go join our newsletter. You'll get that later this week, and join us next week for a new episode as well.